Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. You're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. Now, today is episode 100, a milestone and a great accomplishment. We've covered a lot of territory together over the last 2 years, and we want to thank you for listening. More importantly, I want to speak to you, the audience, and thank you for applying the nuggets of truth to your life and in how you prepare yourselves and your family. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to have understanding. And our hope is that by going through these scriptures, by talking about these things, sometimes difficult subjects, but discussing the perilous times, hopefully our goal and our hope is that you're applying and preparing, not just listening, but understanding. I'm Pastor Andre here, and this week I'll be looking at where we've been and where we're headed. In the previous episodes, we've looked at the nature of spiritual attacks and how our souls are the battleground and the intended target of the enemy's schemes. The question is, how do we stand firm? How do we guard our mind, will, and emotions? We'll cover this and more today on this broadcast. Before I continue, I want to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we come before you. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your word, which guides and leads us. As it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Father, we thank you for illuminating our path. And we thank you for the promises, Father, even in the word itself that says that you would go before us and make the crooked places straight and smooth out the road before us. And not only that, you said you order our steps. And you order our steps again by your word. Father, we ask that you'd place our footsteps firmly, Father, where they need to be so that we can walk in the path. Even as you say behind us, this is the way, walk in it. Father, we desire not only to feel your presence, but to hear your voice and to hear your word, even that Rhema word, which is alive and fresh to us, which also illuminates the Logos word, illuminates the written word. So, Father, even as we continue today, we thank you for forgiveness of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We ask for forgiveness of these, not only for ourselves, but for our forefathers, to the third and fourth generation. And we also desire to cover our families down to the third and fourth generation. That is our children, our children's children. And in many cases, some of you listening may have great-grands. That's such a blessing. It's an inheritance from the Lord. And Father, we thank you for them. We ask that you cover them. May the blood of Messiah Yeshua be upon them and atone and cover them. Father, we thank you right now for today. Get into where we're headed, both in the biblical calendar and in the times to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, I thank you for that as well. We bless you in Yahushua's name. Amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing to bless God in a small part today. Fulfill the scripture that says, at all times I will bless him. Praise will continue to be in my mouth. And so we'll go to Pastor Doug with a before Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Real quick, I want to do a recap for one of the last episodes that Rabbi John and I had recorded back in 2021. I know for the past several weeks we have actually been going through series again that were very pertinent to the time that we're in. We started listening about the spiritual fruit, the fruits of the Spirit and how that's important for our own spiritual maturity and development. And we've been listening to several different things that we're continuing to demonstrate what we need to do to prepare eternally. And as you've been listening with us over the course of the past 2 years, you've noticed that we went very much from an external look at end times, look at the perilous times as we were experiencing the shutdowns, we were experiencing some of the political turmoil, the internal social turmoil that was happening not just in our own country, but all around the world. And that is a key point that we're looking at as an indicator of the times, that the events that are happening are not just isolated, they're becoming more common around the whole world. It was Passover 2020 where it was a very unique Passover, where the whole world was required to be in their homes during the Passover. It's the first time, I'd say, in the history of humanity where the whole world was shut down in such a way where we, whether we wanted to or not, were inside or stayed home for the Passover, both believer and non-believer alike. Well, I'm sure some people were out and about doing their own thing, but the idea that the extensiveness of the overarching whole world is what we're paying attention to. And that's what we're beginning to see more and more, the things that are happening, not just in one location, but happening systematically across the whole world. Real quick, going back to one of the last broadcasts that we were dealing with back in 2021 was increasing in spiritual substance and growing in maturity. This is a word for today. It's still a word for today. It has been a word as long as there has been an end time, which goes back probably 2,000 years, increasing in spiritual substance. That is one of our top priorities in our spiritual walk right now, to increase in spiritual substance and also to grow in maturity. Maturity sometimes is not visible or evident until there are times where our faith or our character must be tested. And then we can say, you know what, we've handled that maturely. As a father, I was blessed recently to have a situation where it was going to be a hard situation for my children. And I was leading the way as an example, and it wasn't easy. But we were able to walk through it, and I was blessed because I saw in their response a new level of maturity. And I can only imagine as a father how our Father, Heavenly Father, feels when we exhibit signs of maturity. One of the first scriptures I want to head to real quick is John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. And I'm just going to read a snippet here, but you can follow this train of thought in your notes here. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. And it says, "Abide in my teachings, and you shall know the truth." I don't know about you, but through the last several years, truth has become a byword in many ways because of the increased levels of propaganda throughout the world on every side. It's sometimes hard to know what is true, what is not, what is the talking point, and what is the reality. We have this promise here from our Messiah. And for those of us who have been immersed in his name and walk in Christ, our husband, says, "Abide in my teachings, and you shall know the truth." That is a very important promise. We also looked at Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 36 through 37. Looking at faith, how do we act on our faith? It was a very beautiful thing when we see this large group of Hebrew people coming from all over the world, converts, and both Hebrew and convert alike. They were coming up to Shavuot, or Pentecost, and after hearing and seeing the miraculous wonder of these disciples, or followers of Yeshua, Jesus, speaking in unknown tongues, they're hearing them in their own tongues, they're seeing the tongues of fire, they're hearing the rushing wind, and Peter gives his famous sermon, and they are pricked to the heart. Now, this is what we're wanting to happen when we hear the word of God, that it actually does prick our hearts, because when it does prick our hearts, it requires an action change, which goes back to the Hebraic definition of repentance, where we are not just hearing something, but it causes a change in us that causes us, that we know we need to turn. And the people here were saying, well, where do we turn? But what they said is, what shall we do? How shall we act? How shall we act on our belief? And that is a question for us today. How do we act on our belief? Over the past couple of years, you may have heard the term COVID, where we've grown slack, or we've kind of not been putting in our hours in the gym, both physically or spiritually. We've grown slack on exercise. We perhaps have lost our frequency and intensity, and we've lost time. This goes back to what we've talked about in times past of the fit man, applying F, frequency, I, intensity, T, time. What happens is we become lethargic, we become slower, we don't react as fast, we don't react as quickly in the ways we should. But what shall we do? How shall we act? Well, now is the time. This is a call for us to begin to take ourselves out of our stupor and to wake up and to get back into our spiritual fitness, to begin demonstrating our faith. Why? Faith without action is dead. The apostle, I believe it was James, was talking about how I will show you my faith by what I do. Not by what I say, but by what I do. And I think it's very easy to get into a habit of knowing truth, speaking truth, but not demonstrating or living truth. That's scary. We need to get to a place where we can apply our faith and demonstrate it in action. And then we can allow the fitness, the time that we're putting in to curtail the decay. There's several other points that we have here, but I want to kind of begin to transition into the points that I wanted to make here today as we're headed towards Passover. Passover will be beginning in April. We have the new month happening. The new moon is expected the first weekend of April to be visible on Saturday night, the 2nd of April, 2022. For those of you listening on to podcast 2022. And so with the biblical new year, there always comes a transition. There comes a transition in focus. It's a part of the countdown. It's like the hour hand changing an hour in God's calendar. Of course, he has been keeping time as long as in our creation, because he's eternal. With our creation, time has been ticking. Not only we have had months and years and cycles of sevens and jubilees of jubilees by this point. And we're getting close to the time, the appointed time of Passover and unleavened bread. But the month of Aviv, which is what we're headed into, we actually had many of you may actually notice this, that this spring seems delayed. But that's right in line with the biblical calendar. We actually are experiencing it's an extension month. It's an added month in order to bring back or be in line with the cycle. And the cycle is determined by the barley harvest in Israel. So for those of you who've been around our community long enough, you've understood how we look for the barley harvest to determine the biblical new year. Because all of this is important with keeping in sync with Yah's appointed times. The appointed times are not just for our worship, because that is what chief priority of it. As even the Father told Pharaoh when he was coming to take Israel out of Egypt, one of the first things Moses told Pharaoh was, let my people go that they may worship me and observe a feast to me. And so that was a chief importance of the deliverance, is so that we could worship him in a new way and worship him in the way that he desires at his times. So that is the chief importance of the calendar. The calendar also demonstrates to us important times for prophecy to be fulfilled. If you consider being a first century individual and you go back and look at all of the prophecies that happened during Yeshua's time frame, first of all, him coming into the world, we understand it to be around Sukkot time based upon the timing of upon his father and his father's division of the Levites being in the temple. There were actually records of this, and so there would have been records for when he was going in. And we can basically go back and look around the time of Sukkot, which is in the fall feast, and we can pinpoint and make even more sense of there being the prophecy of he shall tabernacle amongst his people. So that's just this one. We could go into much more detail, but I'm just painting a picture, broad strokes, with Yeshua's life. We have the understanding that he began his ministry being immersed around the time of Yom Kippur and being cleansed and going into the wilderness, that fast time frame leading up to that time of his ministry beginning. We understand that the biggest picture we have, of course, is him suffering the persecution or the crucifixion, and that happening at Passover time, and his disciples receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit around Shavuot. And we see these cycles, which are agricultural, which are also spiritual, all of the above. They're just all moving in perfect harmony. One of the things that's very important to understand is that with prophetic prophecy, there is no fudging or having to make things fit into his time. His time is perfect. His timing is perfect. And so we just have to be more aware and become in sync with his timing. All that being said, with Passover approaching, we always begin to look up and say, okay, what is the Father doing? What is the Father doing at this time? What are the events that may soon be taking place? And going back to our intro, how must we respond to the things which must soon take place? Now, current events have been happening and intensifying. We have major events that happen that are affecting the whole world at any given time. And it seems like we move from one crisis to another. We had the crisis of the shutdowns and how that affected our economy. And then we had the new variants. And then we have situations in which now things are opening up. Now there's discussion of war, and not only just war, because we've been having wars, if you think about it, for decades now. But now the discussion of world war. Now, one of the things that I always ask the question of, is this Yah or is this a counterfeit? Is this the Father moving, or is this the enemy moving to get people off of the sinking and of the synchronization with God's timing? This is something we always have to ask. We have to go back and abide in his word, as we read the first scripture. Abide in Messiah Yeshua, abide in the word, so that we can know the truth. Abide in his teachings is what it specifically says, to know the truth. We have to surround ourselves with truth so bad or so good, in the sense that counterfeits become quickly identifiable. I want us to go real quick to a scripture here. There's a couple that we're going to go to in succession here. Let's go to Matthew 24. We're going to discuss Matthew 24 just as a review of where we are in line of Yeshua when he spoke to his disciples about the signs of the coming, the time of the end. Now, this specifically is talking about the end. Now, when I hear the end, and this is one way that I approach it, is I look at it as describing when will the time of the wrath come and the end of this age. Now, we also have scriptures we're going to go to as well to describe where is the bride in this situation or these situations and how do we prepare ourselves. There's a preparation that needs to happen primarily spiritually, and I say that because with God all things are possible. And so when we feel like we are in lack or we do not have what we need, we know for a fact that our Messiah and our Father are able to do miraculous things. So we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. However, we also have the encouragement that while it's still day, we prepare. We have the encouragement to be wise virgins, be wise brides. And we also have the example of the storehouse and preparing for times, just as it says in the Proverbs, look at the ant. Okay? The ant prepared in summer for winter. And so we have these examples. It should not be an either-or, but a both-and. Let's go ahead and go real quick to Matthew 24. We're going to break this down, of course, going in similar fashion. I'll have Amplified open, and I'll go there at times, in King James as well. But I want us to get a picture of where Yeshua is. And this, again, now keep in mind, this is a part of his teachings. So this is something that we can abide in, we can immerse ourselves in, study, understand, so that we will know truth. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now, first, I'm going to stop here right in the middle of the verse. They're asking, when shall we begin to see these things? The first things he's talking about was the destruction of the temple. I'm going to finish verse 3 and then continue on that thought. And then he said, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We have three things. When will the destruction of the temple happen? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And this is referring to the second coming, not the rapture, the second coming here. and of the end of the world. Now verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. And even me, as I'm speaking, anything that does not line up with the word of God, I pray that it fall to the ground right now so that you will hear only the truth and that the truth will set you free. He says here, take heed that no man deceive you. Not Pastor Andre, not anybody. This is very important. We want to make sure that we align with the word of God. So I encourage, even as we pray today and we had the blessing before Torah study, that we all often pray that we have a spirit of discernment and not be deceived into a spirit of error. Verse 5 here. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So this is partly the answer to what he was talking about as well. That's one sign. And this is more so a sign of the coming, leading to the end of the world. And then he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Going back, because one of the first questions they said were, when is the temple going to be destroyed? Obviously, he's giving them signs to know that as well. So it's almost as if, not almost as if, it is that at this time, when he died, he set the clock for the end times. They were living in the end times as much as we are. Now we are closer. We're feeling more intensity. But they were in the end times. Now, verse 6 should leap out to us because, yes, we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. But let me just give you a picture of the last 20 years. In 2001, September 11th, we were experiencing a national crisis with our financial, our economic system had been attacked, the World Trade Towers, and we were looking for an enemy. We were looking for who did this, and we began the war on terror. We've been fighting the war on terror for now at least 21 years. Just recently, yes, within the last year, we pulled out of Afghanistan. I'm sure that does not mean that we have stopped all fighting there. There had been fighting in Iraq over the course of the last 20 years. There had been uprisings going into the 2010s, the 2011. All the uprisings that were happening around the world. Syria, which is still ongoing, has been going through war since 2011. We had the situations in the Eastern Bloc of Europe that have been going on since at least 2014 with uprisings and with turmoil, political turmoil, going back as early as 2004. We have been in this state for a long time. But does that mean that we're not any closer? No, it does mean we're closer. But we'll talk about what this means, how this relates to our timeline, and what it means for the... At the end of verse 6 here, Yeshua says, but the end is not yet. Because we're seeing these things, because we're seeing these intensities, it does not mean yet that the wrath has come. The wrath is not here yet. There's still things that need to happen that are coming. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And this is where it gets interesting, because now we're beginning to see how this overlays with the very revelation that Yeshua, Jesus, gave to John, the apostle, his disciple, in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 again, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, here's a question. Do we have these things right now? Yes. They're saying that the amount of individuals who are suffering malnutrition and lack of food around the world exceeds the population of the United States. There has been famine. Have there been pestilences? Yes. There's been disease throughout the world. We've seen a massive virus take over the world, whether, you know, natural or not. It doesn't say in the Bible here, it just says pestilences. We've seen that, yes. Have we seen earthquakes? Yes. I don't know if many of you remember the earthquake that happened in 2004 with a massive tsunami that just riveted the world. We've never seen anything like it down in the Indian Ocean. And then, years later, 2011, We saw the Japan earthquake, and we saw the tsunami there. We're watching live TV as tsunami is just coming inland and wiping boats and bridges and buildings. And then we had the crisis with the Fukushima plant. Yes, that was 2011. Even just as recently as this year, we've had an earthquake in Japan near Fukushima, about 7.0 this time. I think it was a little bit less than last time. And these have been happening for a while, all over. What does that mean? I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Verse 8 is what Yeshua is saying. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now let's pause right here. This is verse 8. We're going to go to Revelation, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 6. And this will give us a picture, and I'll show you again how the overlay again. And for those of you who have been listening over the course of time, this will sound familiar. In fact, you'll be like, well, we've talked about this before. Yes, we have. But we're sharing it, of course, for new listeners, but also so that we can begin to, again, refocus and pinpoint where things are, where we've been, where things are, and where we're going. Okay? So for those of you who are following, this is going to be Revelation chapter 6. You can write that down. And we're going to be reading from verse 1, and we're going to go right up till we get to the section that overlaps where we were just now in Matthew chapter 24. Now, to paint a picture, this is part of the vision where, the Apostle John has been granted a vision. He saw in verse 1 the Lamb in one of the seals. Now, before this, in chapter 5, there was sadness because they wanted to open the seal, but there was no one worthy to open the seal. And John began to cry and lament. But then there was the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, who was found worthy to open the seals. And so here in verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the first, what we call the first seal. But it also is one of the what's called the first horse of the apocalypse, or the four horses of the apocalypse. That's more of a cultural title there. Then, verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Okay? Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the fourth beast saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, I'll have to be honest with you. That is not the best translation. In fact, let me go ahead and look at this one in the Amplified. You'll see why I say that. Because in our modern understanding, that penny seems insignificant. But I want you to see how significant this section is. When he heard the Lamb, this is verse 5 in the Amplified Version. There it is. We're going to go 5 and into 6. When he, the Lamb, broke open the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, a famine. And the rider had in his hand a pair of scales, a balance. And I heard something like a voice in the midst of the four creatures saying, a quart for a denarius, a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not damage the oil and the wine. I hope you're understanding the difference in the significance, because this is where a historical cultural analysis is needed to truly understand what in King James' time, what a penny was worth to him versus what it is to us now, and what a denarius was worth in the first century and what that would be equivalent to now. So to say that a quart of wheat, so a quart, if you imagine a quart of milk, and you put wheat in there and you say that's a day's wages, okay? Let's say that you make minimum wage, and that's $7 an hour, okay? Something like that. We'll just make it 8. Let's make it 8. And let's say you work 8 hours a day. That's $64 for a quart of wheat. and that's going off minimum wage. If we would look at the average, the standard of living, I don't know what it is now, but let's go ahead and raise it up like they want to do with the minimum wage to $15 an hour times 8. Okay, that's going to get you to about, what's 120? I could be wrong. Do a math live on the radio. Okay, so that's going to get you to a place, yeah, $120 for a quart of wheat. That is massive inflation, something that we haven't seen in our day and age in a long time. I don't know what or how bad it got during the Great Depression, but to see this of inflation on wheat, you know, now this is coming into current events because we're seeing inflation. Inflation was rising before the war in Ukraine started. Gas prices were rising before the war in Ukraine started, and they intensified after the war in Ukraine started. Gas is now hovering about $4, maybe $4.20, depending on where you are in the United States. But something else that stuck out to me recently was that they are saying that wheat prices were surging. About a week or so ago, they said that there was a six-day surge. They had to stop. Like, there gets a point where things are taken off too much, and I guess in the commodities market, and they have to stop. But it happened for 6 days in a row. Wheat prices were going in crazy. Now, one reason is they say Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world, and there's a lot, I want to say almost a third comes out of that region, a third of the world's wheat production. It's a summer crop. Now, this is something else that's very interesting, looking at the time frames of God's calendar. Wheat is a summer crop. Barley is considered a spring crop. Okay, now it's interesting that it mentions wheat first, and then it mentions barley. Now, oil and wine are a late summer crop. It says do not damage the oil and the wine. So it's interesting to see these kind of markers in the time of the harvests here. But at least we know that this is like a spring to summer type event here, or at least that's the products, the produce from that time frame. But still, this is very significant. And we're beginning to see these types of things happen as well. Now, let's continue. I'm going to go back to the King James with verse 7 and get all the way down. We wanted to get down to the sixth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard, I heard the fourth beast say, come and see, verse 8. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death, and with beasts of the earth. Now, it's interesting, again, this King James on this section, it omits some of the other language from some of the other translations. Let me read this one again in Amplified, starting with verse 7. Then he, the Lamb, broke open the fourth seal. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, come. So I looked, and behold, an ashen, pale, greenish-gray horse like a corpse, representing death and pestilence. Okay? That is the part that I wanted to highlight, too. Not just death. It says death and pestilence. Let's see. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades, the realm of the dead, was following with him. They were given authority and power over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with plague. Notice how that was, it just says death in King James, but it says with plague, pestilence, disease, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now here with these four things, we had sword, which is considered war, famine, plague, pestilence, disease, and wild beasts. All of these deaths are basically the summation of the deaths that are happening from, you know, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, all combined. And it talks about wild beasts. One of the things, when I was asking about the wild beasts one day, I was just kind of meditating on that, and it brought me back to Exodus or Deuteronomy, but the Lord was recounting why he could not take them into the land to vanquish all of their enemies at one time. Because if they did, he said, then it talked about the hornets and the wild beasts would be too much for you. And I'll have to go back and find that reference. But what happens is when there's a massive massive population shift. What happens is animals begin to encroach on new territory, and wild beasts also. One, because of any of the, I had to be graphic here, but this is reality, any of the carnage, wild beasts increase, but also because there are less people to defend or to occupy those areas, just wildlife increases. And that also means, you know, wolves, you know, all those other types of things increase. And so what's being indicated here is as a result of massive depopulation, when you think about is it a quarter of the earth, let's just keep the math simple. 8 billion people in the world, a quarter of that's 2 billion. We haven't seen anything like that yet. But this is what the end, the fullness of that seal, what it means. Now, I want to take a point to stop here because some people say, well, see, this means we haven't seen any of the seals yet. What I would say is that after the seals are open, there is a level of time for it to be increased to its fullness. The fullness of all of the seals being the fullness of the seventh seal being the wrath of God. So all of these things escalating up to fullness to the wrath of God level. Okay. Now, as I bring in the word wrath, it is very important for us to discuss the promise of Scripture for the bride of Christ, okay, and why it's important that individuals make sure that they are brides. Going back to the Scriptures to test yourself to see if you're in the faith, but more importantly, to test your faith and to test your walk, to test the things that you've done to see if you are qualified as a bride of Christ, is of the utmost. And even Paul said that he was doing everything he could to make sure that he was presenting those who he brought to the Lord as chaste virgins, okay, before the Lord. And that terminology of virgin was synonymous with bride. Okay, even if our culture changes, even if things change, it does not negate the essence of the language and of the purpose and intent of the Father. So being a bride of Christ, being prepared blameless and pure before him, of course, is the most utmost importance to qualify for the rapture, to qualify for being with him and not being in the wrath of God. The wrath of God is in the great tribulation. There will be a period of time where the believers will go through lesser tribulation. We have evidence of that. I'll go to a few verses for that. And even into great tribulation, but not the wrath of God. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and go to the scripture discussing this and our evidence for that. Hallelujah. So, and we're going to go to, okay, so we're going to go to Thessalonians. The first one, we're going to go to chapter 1, okay, and verse 10. I actually didn't have that one synced up, so I apologize here. All right, here we go. I'm going to start with verse, so where's a good starting point? Let's start with verse 8. The Lord's message ran out. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, and we're going to focus on verse 10. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus. Yahushua, who rescues us from the coming wrath. There it is, rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, that's the first one in this letter, this epistle, that talks about how we, and keep in mind, when Paul, back in Paul's day, there was no question about whether you're a bride if you were following the Hebraic gospel in the way it was given. But when we become to this day and age, when we have denominations, and we have denominations of the gospel and different parts and pieces of it, we have to examine and ask ourselves, are we lining up with Scripture when it comes to the calling and election and being a bride of Messiah? That's a scary thing. It's a sober thing. But I want you guys to begin to ask that question too. Okay? Now, the day of the Lord. Let's see. Here we go. Now, one of the things that's important, going here to chapter 5, verse 9, is also to see this picture. It says here, God did not appoint, we are not appointed to suffer wrath. We were not created for it, one, but because of sin, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now we have to be reconciled to him through Messiah Yeshua, and more importantly, in him. In Christ Jesus is a euphemism that's talking about having taken him on as a husband in his name, okay? And his name is very important. And here, for those in Christ, those who are brides, he has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him, okay? So we're not appointed for wrath. Now, I want to get right back into Revelation so we can finish that section, okay? Where we stopped off here was, we stopped at the end of the fourth seal. We were talking about the wild beast and the things happening and death and disease and all of this happening. And I was talking about how the seals escalate. They increase, they intensify, you know. We know for a fact that even Messiah said that the spirit of Antichrist is already alive and well in the world. So we know that the Antichrist spirit is increasing itself into its manifestation. So each one of these are increasing itself until the fullness of that seal is fulfilled. So that it was in response to those who question whether or not the seals are already open. Now, or opening, I should say. Let's see, going to verse 9. This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. So I'm going to stop here. This is very clear. And literally it's saying that the souls of individuals who were slain for the word of God, they were persecuted specifically because of their allegiance and for the word of God and the testimony which they held. This is martyrdom. This is not a light subject at all, but this is the fifth seal. And we know for a fact, you could look at ministries such as Voice of the Martyrs. You could look at what happened throughout all the time of the last 2 decades in the Middle East as ISIS and other groups came into power, the rise of terrorism, and the increase of persecution against those who profess the name of Jesus. Okay? That has been going on. It's been going on for centuries, but we're seeing intensity. We're seeing increasing, and we will see it and feel it more as our own civil societies walk away from God, and they ostracize everything that is true, pure, upright, and holy. We will see this intensify. We will see the persecution intensify. We know in China there has been persecution and death for the belief in Jesus. This is not just talking about persecution. This section is specifically talking about martyrdom. So that is a sober moment, okay? Now, I'm going to continue reading through this. And I'm sorry this is an overview. Today is just a survey of all of this to get us back into the speed here with where we are and why we look at Passover every year, saying, okay, Lord, what is about to happen? What new things or what transitions are about to take place? That's why we look at it that way. That's why we're having this discussion before we get to Passover. White robes were given unto, let's see, let me go back to verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants, also their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now, keep in mind, this fifth seal, this is going to continue to be increasing intensity as well. Now, each seal does not necessarily have to be completely fulfilled before the next one is opened. I would like to say it's almost as if you're pouring sand into, you open a seal, you pour sand into a vial, and it's just filling up, and you open the next one, and it's filling up. But you see them staggering or filling up at the different rates going up to their fulfillment. And so here on the heels of the fifth seal, we have the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. Now this is very important, great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it is rolled together, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and the bondmen, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, that is one of the most intense foreshadowings that we have in this section of the Scripture. But this is where they first mention the wrath. Now, the wrath at this very, very moment has not come, but it is coming. And it's within the seventh seal. But right around this time is where we at Beth Hashem have taught and believe that there's going to be a rapture before the wrath of God. And so this is why we're looking for these signs and looking for this these key markers to determine when the redemption of mankind, of the bride will be. Okay? What's very important, as we go through this section, we see the overlap again here with the great earthquake that we saw in Matthew 24. That great earthquake is a huge indicator. Now, I want to talk about this in a way that we can overlap it with biblical perspective. Do basically a lexical syntactic, not lexical syntactical, but a cross-reference here, a contextual analysis on this, so that we can begin to see what is happening. If it's not the wrath, then what is it? Okay? And we know, one, there's seals, but there's another term that the Bible uses that describes and gives us a vivid picture of why we see things happening, but the time is still not yet. Okay? And that term is birth pains. I think in the King James it might say birth pains. In some places it says beginning of sorrows. But the understanding is that these are birth pains. They're pains. They're labor pains. Okay. In fact, let's go ahead and go. This is Matthew 24, verse 8. In the King James it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And I'm like, that's an okay description. But I think it's more vivid here and amplified in some of the other translations. It says, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, of the intolerable anguish at the time of unprecedented trouble. Now, that's a mouthful. Let's just focus on birth pains. I have seen go through labor and delivery. And I was able to learn. I didn't know much of anything. I don't think most men are prepared for what happens in labor. But, you know, Lamaze did its little thing. Bradley class did its little thing. But what I have learned and am able to apply to understanding what this analogy is about is the concept of pre-labor and labor. The concept that when a woman is getting to the point where her delivery can happen, you know, soon, she's going through a situation where her body begins to have what we call Braxton Hicks or cramps in various places around her abdomen, her back, that are preparing her body for labor. What we see here is that a lot of the things we're seeing, going back to what Yahushua said in verse 6, he says, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The full labor producing the end time event, the end time event, is not yet. But all of these contractions at various different times are intensifying. They get more coordinated. Their frequency it comes quicker and sooner, and they are more intense. I know all of you ladies who have had children listening understand what I'm talking about, but this is the picture that God has given for the time and the signs that are being caught up together with him is coming soon. We have all the way up through the sixth seal, and we're seeing these different things. Every seal has those little things happen around the world. Oh, there might be we hear about a war on one side of the world. We hear about an earthquake over here. We hear about famine over here. But what's going to be happening, just like what we saw happening with 2020, things are going to be happening around the whole world, or if you can imagine, the whole pregnant belly, not just the upper abdomen, contracting, not just the lower abdomen contracting, but the entire abdomen starts to contract together in synchronization to begin to prepare for the labor. Each time it does, its intensity increases, and the purpose is so that the whole body is able to contract when it's needed to help deliver the baby. We are in a situation where our contractions are closer together. They are becoming more intense, and the duration is becoming more intense. This is a sign for us that, yes, we're getting close. Messiah is coming soon. How soon? When the woman's in labor, she doesn't know. Some labors are quicker than others. What we do know is what we're told to do in this time. There are two ways in which we can be preparing ourselves right now. Okay? As we're going through and seeing these signs, we're seeing literally signs that are jumping out of the seals themselves. Going back to the sixth seal, we do see there have been asteroids that have been happening. There have been meteors there. You start hearing the government talking about preparing for the big one. And these type of news events, if you begin looking for them, they're actually happening more often. One of the most recent things is they want to be able to get a device onto an asteroid to be able to steer it in a different direction. That almost sounds like an accident waiting to happen, to be honest with you. But we had in 2013 was a huge, should wake us all up, but it was the Chelyabinsk asteroid in Russia, megaton asteroid that broke up and exploded over the city, causing at least 1,000 injuries. But it was the explosion, the shockwave, broke windows. And when we see these types of events happening more, we can get a picture of what the fullness of the sixth seal would look like. But one of the biggest things about the sixth seal that we see both in Matthew 24 and in Revelation chapter 6 is talking about the great earthquake. There'll be a big earthquake, okay? And that's one of the things that we're going to be seeing now. The earthquake and the coordination with celestial events all lead us to believe that there will be a major celestial catastrophic event that's causing the earth to tremble, either because of the mass of whatever this object is. Some of you have heard in years past we talked about Nibiru or Planet X. All those are highly viable scenarios and situations. Regardless, what the Father does give us here through the teaching of Christ is the sign of the earthquake, the sign of the moon turning to blood, and the sun turning to sackcloth. We have that as well in Revelation. These are signs, and these are things that we will be seeing happen. Now, you might say, well, how do you even prepare for that? How do we prepare for these signs that are coming? Even as we enter into this new biblical new year, we have to ask ourselves, are we preparing our souls? When I say our souls, are you preparing your mind, your will, and your emotions? There are ways we can be better stewards. Are you preparing yourself financially so that you're not caught in debtor's prison or in different situations that would become an issue if things got tight? Are you being wise and putting aside an extra can of food when you can? These are all questions that we can ask ourselves. But while you can prepare physically, the most important thing is preparing spiritually. Prayer. Building your spiritual discipline, as we talked about earlier, building and growing a spiritual maturity and growing in spiritual substance, getting the word inside of you so that when you're squeezed, the word comes out. It's back and forth. We want to be wise. We do not want to be foolish. If you break down in Matthew chapter 25, just break down in simplicity the story of the foolish virgins. Some prepared and some did not. Some had and some did not. Some made it in and some did not. It's a very cut and dry story, very simplistic, but has such repercussions. And so I'm urging those of you listening to take to heart what I'm saying. As we go into cycles of the biblical calendar, it's always a time for us to evaluate and say, how are we doing? How are we doing spiritually? Am I being wise in my preparation or in how I conduct myself physically? Where Yah is strong, do not forget that the Father performed miracles not only in the prophet's time, in Elijah's time, in Yeshua's time, and afterward. Look at the stories of God's provision to increase your faith, but at the same time, do what you can. Do what you can to prepare. I want to thank you all for listening today. I know there's a mouthful and it's a lot. We'll probably have a part two as we get closer to the time of the Passover, the new biblical year. But these things are things that Yeshua talked about with his disciples. They wanted to know the signs of his coming. And I'm sure he gave them extensive understanding of what they were to do. In many cases, we're not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own worries, as it says in Matthew. And we also know that the Father loves us. He takes care of the lilies of the, he takes care of the flowers and the birds, the sparrows. So we have that to also trust in. But pour yourselves into understanding and to putting that in your heart so that you can withdraw that faith and withdraw on him when you need him most. Again, thank you for listening to today's broadcast, These Be Perilous Times. I'm glad that you've taken time to study and to go through these scriptures with me. I encourage you, more importantly, to go back and look at them for yourselves and to see if these things are true and apply them as they are. This is a broadcast of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or you want to just reach out and contact us and say, you know what, that this point was really good, I appreciate what you said there, or I disagree. Now, I don't encourage you to send a lot of disagreeing emails, so please don't. But if you want to reach out, we're here to speak with you. We're here to talk with you. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can visit our website, www.bethhashem.org. And that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can find out more about us on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, the Dekalb University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can do so via Cash App. We've made it easy for you to do so electronically. I know a lot of people are not able to see us in person, but if you would go ahead and check that out, it's www.cash.app/$BethHashem. And as Yah leads, it'd be a blessing. Any contribution of any side would be a blessing to this ministry. At this time, we'll go ahead and go to the after Torah study blessing, and then we'll close with a running benediction and a prayer. So at this time, we'll go to Pastor Doug with the after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen, amen. This time I'll sing the Aaronic benediction and pray that for those of you who can hear this and apply it, that you receive it not only for yourselves, but for your families, in Yahushua's name. Yivorechecha Yehua ve'yishmerecha Ya'ir Yehua panav elecha v'ikhunecha Yisa Yehua panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Messiah Yahushua's name. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we come before you. Thank you right now, Lord, that you have given us your word, and I thank you for Yahushua's instructions and teachings, which if we abide in them and if we commit them to ourselves, and we do them, not just hear them, but do them. Father, it says we shall not only know the truth, but we will abide in him, and he abides in you. So, Father, right now we ask that you help us, that you would help remove any of the unbelief or any of the stupor that remains on us, and help us to be fit and ready, Father, for what you desire to do in and through us. Father, we submit to you, and we thank you for the new mercies today. And we ask that you would go before us again, establish our footsteps, and make our path straight. We bless you in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Shalom, shalom.